guys. Welcome back to Thick and Thin with Katie Bilotti. That is me. On tonight's episode, we're going to do something a little bit different. I'm actually going to be doing kind of a Q&A with you guys. Just answering a total, you know, hodgepodge, all over the place, random questions you guys have for me. They're going to range from deeper questions to more just like very simple questions, because I feel like on the podcast, I haven't really done, I mean, the first episode, I kind of introduced myself and talked about myself a little bit, but I haven't really given you guys like an all, you know, angles deep dive with me, just kind of answering questions that I can't dedicate a whole episode to, you know, things like that. So tonight I'm going to be answering a bunch of questions you guys asked me on Instagram. Like I said, it's going to be a lot of different stuff we're going to talk about tonight. So hopefully this will make up for Monday's episode being a little bit on the shorter side. I thought I would do an extra episode this week because of that. So yeah, without further ado, I'm just going to get into these questions. I'm a little nervous. So there's a lot of questions about my job and things like that, but I'm going to save those for after I answer this one question that I loved so much that I screenshotted, and I'm really nervous I'm going to forget to answer it. So we're just going to answer it first. And yes, it is relationship dating related. I know some of you guys don't love when I like dwell on that so much, but to be honest, a lot of the questions were about that. So I'm going to give the people what they want, you know. The first question, I'm not going to say who some of these are from if they're more like, you know, sensitive. But this girl asks me, have you ever been in the situation of getting to know a guy who is head over heels for you, but you can't let yourself fall because you just can't understand what he sees and think it's all a scam? I'm so scared of it all. I've been hurt too many times. I don't know where to take the confidence from in this situation. And she goes on to say some other stuff, but the kicker of that question that really got me, and I was like, I need to talk about this, and it's super relatable, is, you know, being in a situation with a guy where it's kind of you just can't let yourself be into it because of X, Y, and Z. And for me, you know, I don't think I ever really used to feel this way until I moved to the city. And as I mentioned in the last episode, you know, just kind of feeling like I'm not sure about certain things. And a lot of times it does stem directly from me. So I totally feel her in this question, you know. And I think, I mean, it can just, you know, range from a variety of reasons. But for me, when I'm with a guy, I get very insecure about very classic insecurities of mine, like my body. You know, I get nervous, especially in like a sexual relationship or where like it's intimate. Like I get really overwhelmed with the idea of, you know, being naked. Like, not to say that happens in every, you know, relationship I'm in the city or have been in the city, but, you know, when it gets to that, when it kind of, you know, gets past the few dates, you know, past like, you know, hanging out on weekdays and whatnot, and to that, I get really insecure about how I look and how, you know, my body is. And I sometimes, this is so, oh God, I need to put my phone in night mode, sorry. Sometimes I get to even the extent where it's like, if he doesn't text me back or something like super, you know, minuscule like that, I'll be like, oh, it's definitely because he thought I was going to be thinner in person. He thought I wasn't going to have thighs. You know, maybe he thought that I would look like my pictures, especially if it's like from Hinge or something like that. You know, and I get so just hard on myself. You know, I don't let myself experience and let myself love because I'm held back by my personal insecurities. And, you know, as I've mentioned before, I think it's one of those things where you're always going to be insecure about something. Like even if you go to the gym 7 million times tomorrow and get like a killer six pack and like awesome body and whatever, and like those insecurities are diminished, like there's going to be other insecurities that are fighting for your attention. You know what I mean? It's like there's things you're not even going to realize were insecurities that are like your new insecurity that you're going to have like, you know, on the front burner. And so I think that knowing that and knowing there's always going to be something, you have to convince yourself that, like, first of all, you are so capable of loving, you know, no matter how many times you've been hurt. That's so fact, okay? And you're also capable, or you're deserving, rather. You're deserving of that. And you're deserving of, you know, someone caring about you. I know when she says, like, a guy is head over heels for you and you can't let yourself fall, like, you can't keep thinking that there's like a, you know, a reason why he's doing this. Like he's, you know, has these ulterior motives. Like, sure he could, but like, we can't go on living like that, thinking that, you know, wherever we go, there's going to be some sort of like booby trap, like about to pop out and like ruin our lives. And I know it's easy to just get sucked into thinking like that, and also comparing yourself to your friends and thinking, oh, well, this is the reason why I can't be happy and whatever. Believe me, I am such Like, I know I feel that. I know that. I know that feeling. So I think, you know, in terms of this question, just know, girly, you're not alone. I feel this way, you know, so often. And sometimes it's even just comforting to know that someone else feels like that. And, you know, what I've been working on is just knowing that when I'm with the right person, when I'm in the right phase of my life with the right person that's interested in me, I'm sure I'm going to feel the insecurities. I'm going to feel them no matter what, but he will be a constant reminder to me that, you know, my insecurities are all in my head. And, you know, that doesn't mean I want a guy by any means to be like, oh my God, your thighs are amazing. Or like, you know, I don't know, like constantly telling me these things, but it's going to be in the feeling that these insecurities will kind of fall away and you won't feel them. So, you know, my answer to this is like, you know, I've seen this quote like multiple times, you know, on my newsfeed recently, to be honest, just saying like, you got to give love a chance, you know, always. I think Maya Angelou said something beautiful that I cannot think of right now that, you know, along those lines, just like, you know, find the courage and the strength to love again, no matter what, something like that. And, you know, I don't even know if I want to say love per se, I just want you to know that you should always give things a chance no matter what. And the worst thing that could happen is it won't work out, but at least you can say you tried. Like, no one's, you know, going to kick themselves later for not giving it a try, because at the end of the day, you know, courageous people are people that give things a try even when they're unsure. So I think that that is honestly my biggest piece of advice for this question and something that I remind myself of frequently, let me tell you that. So that was the first question I just wanted to kind of touch on, almost just tell you, you know, that I feel you. I'm sorry if you keep hearing this buzzing and thinking it's your phone buzzing. there are so many questions. Oh my God. Okay. Trisha asks, favorite makeup essentials lately? Makeup essentials. Well, currently I do want to talk about the face mask I have on my face that you can't see that I love. It's a gold face mask. Oh my God. What is it? Who is it by?
I think it's Olay Henderson.
Nope. Okay. Sorry. I had to like go get it from the bathroom. I don't know if I just like ruined the sound quality there, but, it's by Peter Thomas Roth. And I basically went into Sephora and I was like, I need something that's going to give me a nice, healthy summer glow, something that I will fall in love with and want to put on my face forever. That's not really what I said. I just kind of said I wanted a new face mask, and like, hence, you know, summer is like all about glow. Glow is like the biggest trend right now. So I was like, I want something that'll make me glowy and pretty. Make me pretty, Sephora. So I went in there and the guy directed me right to probably the most expensive face mask in the store, which is fine, I guess. So like, if it's going to make me glowy. So it's the 24 karat gold mask from Peter Thomas Roth. And basically it says pure luxury lift and firm mask. I don't really need it for like the lifting and firming, I guess. I mean, I think it's anti-aging somewhat. But it says it imparts an opulent glow, helps re-energize the skin's appearance. Caffeine helps tighten the look of skin for all skin types. Anyway, it's great. It looks cool on the skin. It like gives you a nice, you know, little shimmer. And it's not like a total pain to wash off. Some of those like thicker masks, it's just like a pain, and my sink looks like a murder scene. So anyway, I love this mask. And I guess in terms of beauty, I have been using, this is kind of like a little biased because I work for L'Oreal, but we have a new foundation out called Freshwear 24 hour. As I mentioned, I am a little biased because I work for the company, but I have used a million gazillion really, really high-end expensive foundations. And I also have really, really dry skin, so I have a hard time like finding my holy grail foundations. And this thing, oh my God, first of all, it lasts all day. It's like sweat proof, like it doesn't like transfer. Oh my God, I just touched my face and it's gooey. Sorry face. But yeah, I really love it. And I'm like in like the second lightest shade right now, which I hope to change come summertime. But yeah, so those are my favorite like makeup-y skincare things of the moment. I'm trying to think if I love anything else. Milk Makeup has a really good brow, clear brow gel that I love right now. Because I honestly, so this is like a little tip about, or a little life tip that I've learned. I don't get my brows done anymore. Like, I used to be such a stickler about getting my brows waxed and such, like so often that it was just ridiculous. Like, my skin would break out every time and I was like, no, I need to do it. And honestly, I like the look of my brows much more when I just tweeze like every day. Like, I honestly, my hair grows so fast, I have to. But I love the appearance of my brows, and I just take a little mini scissors at them sometimes and they get really long, but I love like the kind of crazy look of them. Not too crazy, but just like natural. So yeah, okay. I'm going to look at the other questions. What's your favorite cereal? Cinnamon Toast Crunch, obviously. That's my favorite cereal. Okay, so I'm looking through other questions. You guys are asking amazing questions. I'm like having a hard time choosing what I want to answer. Okay, we're just going to like, nothing's off limits at all. So I guess I'm just going to read. Okay. Grace McGowan asks, is your life how you pictured it would be at 22? So I guess my life now, you know, versus 22, like what I was thinking my life would be. Honestly, yes, I'm in the exact place doing a very similar thing to what I thought I was going to be doing. I knew I was going to be doing something like digital, social, you know, creative, in New York and living alone probably, because I like love living alone. Have I mentioned that like too many times in the podcast? Like I love this. Yeah, so I would say yes. That's a yes answer. How are you? Truly, how are you? Oh man, stressed out of my mind. Not stressed. It's not bad stress. Okay. I think there's a difference between like good stress, like stress that's motivating me. Yes. I feel very motivated. I'm not like, you know, upset. I'm not like crying, like really overwhelmed. Like, I guess I do get a little stressed sometimes, but my stress really stems from, as I mentioned in a whole episode, you know, just the present and worrying that I'm not doing enough. Cause in this city, it's like everyone's doing 7 million things at once. And it's just like, how do you do it? Like, I'm like, how do you work out and then go to work and do work and not be tired and not eat carbs? And like, like I'm like, how do you people do this? So I would just say stressed, but it's all good stress. And it's stress that I'm learning to manage. I'm actually looking into getting an assistant this summer just to help me like a couple hours a week, maybe like more than that, maybe a couple hours a week, with just managing my schedule and helping me take pictures, take Instagrams and cool places and open some PR packages and just very simple tasks. And honestly, it sounds really simple and really like kind of like, Katie, are you serious? But like, it's little things that I just forget to do. And like, things are piling up in my apartment. And it's just like, I need a little bit of help. And the stubborn person in me is like, no, you don't need help. You can do it all on your own, whatever. But then I'm like, you know what, maybe I could use some help, which is a lot for me. I'm really bad at admitting when I need help. That's another little fact about me. So I guess that's kind of to answer that question. Did you have a toxic childhood, or did your parents love you? Yes, my parents loved me, still love me so much, to the point where I am like, why do you love me this much? Like, I mess up all the time. Why do you still love me? Because that's just like a cynic in me talking. But I had a really amazing childhood. Honestly, I had the most blissful childhood. I was very unaware of a lot of things. Like, I don't think I was sheltered per se, but I was given a very amazing life, and you know, which is amazing, and you can never ask for anything different. But I also do think that now that I'm on my own and I'm experiencing some things firsthand that I never experienced before, and just not even experiencing personally, but just seeing in the city, you know, homelessness and just, you know, people not having the same, you know, upbringing as me, the same privilege as me, it is so sobering. And I, as thankful as I am for my childhood, I also do feel like I was a little naive, and I just didn't think that so much hurt and struggle existed in the world. Like, I knew, but I didn't like know. Does that make sense? So I had an amazing childhood and my parents did love me, but that does not mean that I'm now not feeling like shock that like, I'm like, wow, this is like real. And it's making me a better person, honestly, every day, knowing all these things and living in a city where it's all happening, like all in the same state, all in the same city. So yeah, a lot has been taught to me in New York, let's just say that, in my first year. Molly the Green asks, what are some pieces in your closet that make you feel hella confident? Honestly, dresses, gowns, like just like really exotic, like maybe not exotic, that's the wrong word, elaborate clothing pieces. Like, I have this thing where I like literally, my friends like laugh at me. They're like, Katie, don't wear the gown to happy hour. Like, I am a very big gown, dress, you know, vintagey styles, not like full, maybe, honestly, I love a good full on vintage piece, but a lot of times it's just more like old school styles that I really love. I love Reformation for that reason, just like not needing to show a ton of skin, not because I don't think that's awesome and like I will do that on occasion, but I just feel most confident when I'm like walking down the street in my cute heels and a flowy dress. And you know, that's just how I feel most confident. And I will continue to wear gowns to happy hour, friends. Do you think it's worth going to Coachella? Jasmine wants to know. So I went to Coachella once. I went a couple years ago. Maybe it was more like 3 years ago now, I think. I went junior year, so I think that's about like 2-ish years ago. I really loved it. I went with a brand, so it made it a lot easier because they helped with a lot of things like transportation and hotels, and I got to bring a friend, and it was really, really great, like an awesome first experience. Actually, wait, I went with L'Oreal. Why did I say a brand? I went with my brand, and it was a really great experience, but like I do think that it's a lot of stress. I mean, going for the music is amazing. If you're going for the music, you truly love the music like I did and whatever, amazing, amazing experience. They will not disappoint. Like, it is the ultimate. You see all your favorite people in one place. I loved that aspect of it. If, you know, the only stressful things about it, I think, is, you know, transportation, you know, getting out, leaving in the traffic and just the people everywhere. And that's like kind of stressful. I'm not one that loves like really chaotic, like concert situations. Like, I do love a concert when I can like get in, get out really quickly and not have to like be in traffic for 75 hours. So that was a little bit stressful. Also, there's just a lot of pressure, you know, if you're going to like get the right pictures. And I think it's gotten to the point where maybe it's not so much about the music anymore, which is scary to me. But like I said, I haven't been for a couple of years. I just remember the transportation being a nightmare, you know, if you don't have a situation where you have a car picking you up or something like that. And a lot of people don't. Most people don't. If I went again, I wouldn't have that. I don't know. That's stressful to me. But I love the performers and I love watching. I've been watching all the performances on my computer, you know, from the past few weeks. So yeah, I think it's worth it. But just know that there's a lot involved that you don't see on Instagram. Okay, that's what I'm going to say about that. Katarina, favorite neighborhood in Manhattan? West Village, for sure. That's where I'm looking to move, actually. And I'm putting in applications as we speak for apartments in West Village. And I'm very excited to move there and be a West Villager. The reason why I love it so much is just how every street looks different. There's a lot of character, which I feel like everyone says about every place that they love. But there's just such an energy there that doesn't exist anywhere else in the city. And not to mention, it's very close to all of my friends. And so I can finally walk to their apartments and not have to Uber and be like half an hour late to everything. Hell's Kitchen is just so far from where my friends live in the East Village, Lower East Side, that area. Do you ever regret getting a 9-to-5 and not doing YouTube full time? So I was actually thinking about this in the shower tonight, not because I saw the question. I actually didn't read many of these questions beforehand. I didn't read this one in particular, but I was thinking about it and no, I don't regret it at all. And here's why. I will tell you. And it's somewhat related to money, which like obviously it's like not pretty to think about or talk about that, but it is. You know, YouTube is amazing. Instagram, you know, working off Instagram and stuff like that is so amazing. And it's a blessing that people are even able to do that, and good for them if they fully rely on that. But my fear is just, you know, what happens when Instagram isn't a thing anymore, and when YouTube, when I get, you know, increasingly less relevant on YouTube. Like, I don't have the views I used to get on YouTube. That's no secret. Mainly because in college I didn't put enough effort into it. I posted, but I didn't post on a schedule. I just posted like honestly once a month, and it was just because I was enjoying college, and I do not regret that at all. Like, God, I don't regret that. Like, I was thinking about that the other day. I really don't regret it. So yeah, like I see numbers just fluctuating, and that freaks me out. And also, you know, that's one reason that kind of that was what initially got me thinking about looking for a job. And then when I got the job at L'Oreal and I'm doing digital and social, that was like a weird word I tried to invent there. I started realizing that I really love working for another company that isn't me, or isn't just me rather, because, you know, doing YouTube and Instagram and such full time is kind of a lonely job. And it's nice, you know, on L'Oreal having a team, having like a full team that I work with and that I love and really feel inspired by and am learning so much from. That's a huge reason. But then also, you know, it's nice to not have that, you know, crazy stress of having to get the numbers and create certain content to get numbers. And I am confident when I say that I don't feel pressure right now to make content that I know will do well. I make content that I love, like my vlogs, like certain videos I put up that I know might not get crazy views, but I just genuinely love making. Like, that is a pleasure that I never even knew that I, you know, wanted and needed for so long. And so that's nice knowing that, like, you know, I don't need to get certain numbers on YouTube because, you know, I have L'Oreal and I'm getting paychecks from them and I love my job at L'Oreal. And it's just, you know, two things that, yes, I need to learn the balance between, and I need to, you know, keep striving to not put too much on my plate because it gets to the point where it's overwhelming. But I think honestly, I don't regret it because now I have you know, the freedom and the confidence to make whatever I want and not worry about, you know, getting paid and getting money from it. It's now, again, you know, what I created initially to, you know, as an outlet and what I love. And so I feel like I'm at the best possible point with my YouTube channel and my Instagram and the podcast now. Like, I just feel so creative and so happy with what I'm doing, and I don't feel pressure. And so I think that that's honestly, maybe honestly, it wasn't like what I initially thought that was the reason, but now that I've kind of came to that point, I'm happy that I did it. And, you know, L'Oreal teaches me things. Like, I mean, it sounds like cliche, like, yeah, I'm learning so much at my job. But like, honestly, I'm learning like acronyms, words, things in the industry that I didn't even know existed, you know, just how to navigate this space, especially in New York. It's good to start with a job. A lot of influencers here actually did start with a job or still have their jobs, and it's just like a side hustle. And I think, you know, yes, we're like millennials, Gen Z, we are the side hustle generations. But, you know, I think that that honestly, yeah, or no, to answer your question, no, I do not regret it at all. So switching gears for just a second to introduce tonight's sponsor. Tonight's episode is sponsored by Harper Wild, and I'm actually wearing the bra currently that they sent me in the mail as part of their at-home try-on, which is honestly a revolutionary innovation, guys, because you can try on 3 different bras in different sizes, colors, etc. Like, yeah, there are days when I go braless, there are days when I want a bra, when I don't want a bra, but when I do want a bra, I want a bra that I can count on. Did I just say bra like 75 times in that sentence? Probably. And these bras are, there I go again, extremely, extremely comfortable. They are designed with women in mind. So, you know, they aren't digging into my sides, you know, making me literally hate my life all day long. Super comfortable. I forget that I'm wearing it and I'm not itching to rip it off as soon as I walk in the door. Very easy to wear on a daily basis, and you get to try on 3 of them in the comfort of your own home. You can have like a fashion show, try them on with all your clothes. They're shipped right to your front door, and shipping is covered both ways, and you only pay for the bras that you keep. They're super inexpensive. You know, they're actually priced lower than the average competitor, and they're easy to buy in bundles, so you can make over your entire bra drawer without, you know, giving an arm and a leg to do so. So it's really, really great. This is kind of embarrassing to admit, but I have some bras still from high school, and like probably before that. I haven't really changed in size at all. So maybe it's about time. I think it honestly is about time that I get some big girl bras, you know, that are like functional and not super frilly. And the best part about the whole thing is you can buy your bras knowing you're helping someone, because a portion of Harper Wild's profits are donated to projects that help women gain access to education in over 100 countries around the world. So Lift In Your Ladies can help out, you know, with uplifting other women. So guys, as per usual, I do have a special deal for you guys. I think it's about time that we all upgrade our bra collection. So go to Harper Wild. That's Harper, H-A-R-P-E-R, Wild, W-I-L-D-E, don't forget that E at the end, .com/Katie, that's K-A-T-Y, to get started today with a free at-home try-on. You get it for free, and a free bra wash bag along with that. If you have a bra, you need a wash bag, and now you can have one for free. Make sure to select 3 bras to try on, and don't forget to add the wash bag to your cart too. That's Harper Wild, WILDE.com/Katie, K-A-T-Y, to try on 3 bras at home for free and receive a free gift. That's HarperWild.com/Katie. Okay, now on with the podcast. Okay, another good question. You guys are killing it with the questions. I am so proud of you for asking these very hard-hitting, very, you know, deep questions, and also very fun questions. So someone asks, what to do when you start to feel, in all caps, friendships pulling away / growing distant as we get older? Okay, this is something I can relate to personally because, you know, as I did grow up in Maryland, I went to school in North Carolina, I'm in New York now, you know, I'm bound to get distant from some people just because of the actual distance that I have in between a lot of these people that I used to be friends with or still am friends with that I don't see very often. And I think that the thing you have to remind yourself or consider is, you know, does it bother you a lot? Like, does it really like hurt your soul that you don't speak to this person very much anymore, you know, and that you wish you could, you know, still be really close with, you know, is it really hurting your soul that you're not close to them anymore? Because in that case, if it really is, then, you know, the best thing you can do to maintain those relationships is just talk as much as you can, you know, text, And it doesn't mean you have to like talk every waking second, because, you know, I have really close friends in the city that I don't talk to every waking second. It's just like something that isn't really reasonable or rational. But just, you know, keep in touch, like keep going the distance to see this person. If you're going home for the holidays and they're home, you know, make time to see them, things like that. You know, those relationships that you really do want to continue and grow, you know, you'll fall right back where you left off, and it will be just fine if both you and that person are willing to just stay in touch, you know, do put in the effort to maintain the friendship, you know. But I think there are some people that I have drifted apart from, not because I don't like them, not because I hate them or anything happened. It's just like, I just don't see, they're just not a part of this chapter of my life. And I think it's honestly kind of a mutual thing in most of these all of these situations that I can think of. It's just like a mutual thing. It's like, you know, we were friends when we were 14 in this town, and, you know, 23 version of us, we're just not friends. We're just not supposed to be friends. And I think we have to accept that, because there's just physically no way that you're going to be close friends with 35 million people. You know what I mean? It's just, you have to just know that in this chapter, it's just not your closest friend, and that's fine. And, you know, who's to say when you're 50, you won't like reconnect and be friends, and there won't be any hard feelings, because it's just, it's physically just, it's just hard to keep up and, you know, get dinner with every single person every single night. You know, it's just, it's not feasible. So I think you have to have those hard conversations with yourself, and, you know, just kind of know that, I think the best possible thing you can do is be close with, you know, this is just a personal preference, honestly, so I don't want to tell you how to live your life, but, you know, I prefer being very, very close with a group of like, I don't know, 15, 10, maybe 10, 15, you know, and really grow and culture those relationships, because I think the worst thing I could do is just spread myself so thin that I don't have any really, really deep friendships with anyone, and I just have like very superficial friendships with a lot, like hundreds of people, you know what I mean? So I think you do have to know, though, sometimes when you don't speak every day, it doesn't mean that you're not friends also. It just means that, you know, just you're not as close as you used to be, which is fine. You know, we grow up, and that's what happens. So that's what I think about that. It's kind of sad to just like think back and be like, oh, we used to be so close and now we're not. But you reflect on that fondly and be like, that was just so necessary for that version of myself back then. And now it's just not as necessary, and that's fine. So that's how I see that. Okay, so in the grain of friendships, there's another question. How can you tell when a close friend isn't actually good for you or good to you? But I guess that also relates, you know, good for you too. So I have experience with people that, you know, I was friends with that I realized maybe weren't the best for me. So I do have some things I can say about this. I think the number one thing that I've actually heard before, so that I didn't invent this, but the number one thing you need to consider with friendships is, you know, when you are successful, when you have successes in your life, even just small successes, are they happy for you? You know, are they genuinely happy for you? Can you tell that they are happy for you and they're not just texting you like, yay, congrats? Like, they actually come out and they are like, I am so proud of you. Like, this is really awesome. Like, things like that. You know, notice who is proud of you and happy for you in those moments when you're successful and maybe they're not. Notice who supports you in that moment. You know, even though maybe their life isn't all sunshine and butterflies and yours is for once, or, you know, you're having a great day or something, notice who supports you in that and doesn't just say like, oh, like my life is so miserable, let's talk about my miserable life and not your successes, you know? So that's really important to remember, and I've figured it out the hard way, who is proud of me and who is just, you know, using me or just wants to just, I mean, honestly, a lot of people have used me just to like vent about their problems, and they're just a whole negative energy and they have nothing nice to say. And that's another thing, you know, do your friends have nice things to say, you know, about other people? Because that's exactly how they're going to talk about you when you're not around. You know, you got to know that your friends have your back and they're not just going to, you know, shit talk you to the next person they hang out with. And it's hard to tell, you know, that aspect, because obviously you're not a fly on the wall and there are other conversations, but you have to, you know, if you are confident that your friends are going to stand up for you, if your name is being, you know, shit on, for lack of a better way to say it, by other people, or like, if, you know, you got to know whether your friend is going to do that for you, because that is a true friend, you know, and people that aren't going to drag you down to other people. Like, I think you kind of can get a vibe for that just from spending time with someone a lot. I guess by the same token of, you know, the previous thing I said, you know, notice who is there for you when you're not at your best, when you're not, you know, all sunshines and butterflies and you're having a really hard time. Like, who is actually there for you? You know, who's not just texting you like, oh, I feel better. Oh, like, that's so sad. Like, let's talk about whatever. Who is actually showing up, physically showing up for you, physically there for you when you're not at your best, you know? Because I have friends, or I've had past tense friends. I've gotten good at weeding them out, to be honest, and unpleasant terms. But, you know, I've had friends that have kind of ran when I'm not going through a great time. You know, yes, like I have had really great times and big successes and people have been there for me through that. But then as soon as something bad happens or I'm not fun and I'm, you know, irritable and I'm having a bad night, my friends are like, fuck you. Or not my friends, but like the people that I hung out with previously are like, oh, we don't want to be anywhere near her. Like, she's a cold-hearted bitch tonight, but like, don't realize that maybe something deeper is going on. You know, who actually asks you how you are in those moments? Because I think that those are the true friends that you should stick around forever. So yeah, that's kind of my answer to that question. Okay. Favorite pizza place in New York. So New York is known for its pizza, but Joe's Pizza is definitely the best. There's a bunch of locations, I think. I've always gone to the same one, but I believe there's multiple. Very, very good pizza. Very good price as well. They only take cash, so beware. Okay, next question. How do you combat being unmotivated or unmotivated days at work? I think that the best thing that you can do in those moments of feeling unmotivated is, number one, remind yourself why you started. You know, why you took the job, why you started that project that you're feeling unmotivated with, or why did you begin with whatever you're doing? Remind yourself of how you felt when you were motivated, you know, and remind yourself of that energy, and then, you know, kind of, you know, force yourself to think about why you felt like that. And it will honestly kind of remind you, you know, why you started and why you even had the guts to do it in the first place and the courage. And it'll kind of, you know, reinfuse that back into you, I think. That's what I do, at least when I get really unmotivated, especially with YouTube and, you know, Instagram and podcasting and such. Like, I sometimes will have days where I'm just like, I really don't feel like I want to take a picture of myself right now. And I don't feel like I want to post a video because I'm not my happy chipper self. You know, I think number one, besides those other two points, is like, you do need to take time for yourself to recharge, because especially, you know, creatively, I constantly feel just sometimes very burnt out, and I feel like I don't have any new ideas. And all that I need to remedy that is just take a day and, you know, not post anything, not force myself to do anything that I'm not feeling motivated to do. And I will find that motivation the next day. You know, something else will creep in and I'm like, wow, I want to do that. And so you got to know when to give yourself a day to just kind of recharge. Even if, I know you, like, if you have like a 9-to-5, you can't really do that. You have to go to work. But maybe just like, forgive yourself for not feeling motivated that one day, and just know that tomorrow is a new day and tomorrow you will feel hopefully better. And if you're not feeling better by the next day, maybe it's time to try something new, try a new job, you know, maybe try a new path, which is easier said than done, I know, but it's something to consider. So I think that's a good answer to that. Okay. So the next question is, how do you feel meeting guys in New York? Are you ever sketched or scared? Scared of them being sketched. Am I ever sketched, though? I am sketched sometimes. Okay, this is a very good question, because it does revolve around safety in New York, which I feel like I never talk about. And I'm always like, I'm going on all these dates, but like, what happens after, you know? So I first of all, do not go home with a guy after meeting them, you know, one time, like I did in college sometimes, because I, you know, college is a different atmosphere. Not that you should ever not be safe in college. I've learned that just seeing the news lately. You know, maybe I do kind of look back and I'm like, I was an idiot in college, but I did at least have my friends in very, very close proximity. Elon's a very small school, but in New York, you know, that's not the case necessarily. And also, it's a huge ass city. So I'm very, very careful here. I don't, you know, go home willy nilly with people I just met. That's just not something I do anymore. So that's off the table. But also, you know, I kind of, in the worst way possible, just because I'm a woman in New York and you have to be so careful, I always just, when meeting someone, you know, I have like an open mind with like them as a person, but I also just consider them to be a, you know, a serial killer until they prove otherwise. Like, I give them the not benefit of the doubt. Like, I don't give them the benefit at all. And I'm like, you are a serial killer unless you prove to me, you know, after a few times going out, after a few, you know, hangouts in the daytime and such, that you are not a serial killer. I really am. I'm hard on guys to, in the sense that like, I don't trust them ever until they, you know, do things where I'm like, okay, this guy is trustworthy and I do trust him. And I always, guys, biggest tip I can give you, have my location on loud and proud to my friends. They have my location. I have theirs. They know where I am at all times. I tell people where I'm going on dates. I tell people where the guy lives if I am seeing him and going to his apartment. You know, I just you know, communication with your friends and just telling them like, hey, this is happening is key. It's how to be safe in the city. And just, you know, holding each other accountable. Like, you know, the other day, one of my friends was not answering her texts for like hours and hours and hours on a Saturday morning. And I got very nervous. We all got nervous. And, you know, eventually she, you know, answered me. We were like, oh my God, don't scare us like that. You got to like just constantly stay in, you know, in contact with your friends and just know, hold each other accountable, know where everyone is at all times, because, you know, dating and going out with guys in the city can be great and harmless until it's not. And then, you know, it's scary. So I think that's a good answer to that. Okay, so another question that I get quite frequently that I never really knew how to answer until now, and I just like, it just pops in my mind the perfect answer, so I'm gonna answer it finally. And I just lost the question. Where'd it go? Okay, how do I tell my best friend I might like him without ruining the friendship? So this is a constant fear that a lot of people have, I feel like, because also I feel like when you get to know a person so deeply, you know, as a friend of the opposite sex especially, you know, when you know every part of them and you know all these deep things that they don't tell people, you know, you're going to fall in love with them, or at least in my experience, or maybe you think you love them, or maybe you just like love, you know, certain parts of them and you're like, maybe this could be something else, and you think about that. So I know this firsthand because I actually did really, really love or like or whatever I had with a friend in high school. And I confessed the love to him in a letter, a handwritten letter. I think I talked about that in an episode or a video at some point. And I think I've actually talked about it a bunch of times. We've always talked about, you know, to this day, like, you know, doing a video. He still has a letter of us just like reading it, but I'm like cringe, but I'll do it someday. But we're in different states right now, so it won't really work, but someday. Anyway, to answer your question, if the guy or girl or whoever is truly your friend, like, it won't ruin the friendship. You know, they'll either, you know, reciprocate, which I feel like happens. It's rare probably, but it happens. Or they won't reciprocate, but you will come back from that. Yeah, it'll be a little awkward for a little bit, but if you laugh at the awkwardness of it, you know, and if he laughs at the awkwardness of it, not laughs like, haha, you're ridiculous, but like that was something that happened and it's not reciprocated, like it won't ruin the friendship. Like you might think it will, and in the moment it seems like, oh my God, my friendship is over. Like we can never be friends again now that he knows how I feel. But like, you know, you gotta shoot your shot, because if not, you're gonna regret it, you know, especially if it's a feeling that never goes away. And I just think you should always say things that you feel, even if it's fucking scary. So I think what you got to do is tell him how you feel. If it's reciprocated, it's reciprocated, you know, fireworks, hallelujah. If not, you got to know that this person, you know, if they don't cut you out because they feel awkward, then they are a real true friend. And I think, you know, me and the guy, or the guy and I, how do I say that grammatically correctly, whatever, the guy that I confessed my love to in a love letter, and I are still really good friends, like exactly how we were before, if not honestly probably better now, because I did that. And you know, we're on that level now where we laugh about it and it's just fine. You know, I think I can say from personal experience that like if the friendship is really true, it won't ruin the friendship if your, you know, your love is not requited. Yeah. So I think you got to do it. Maybe it'll be awkward for a little bit, but then you can laugh about it and be like, hey, remember that one time I told you I loved you? Like, haha. And it honestly kind of, if you, you know, realize maybe you weren't in love with him, it'll snap that into you real quick. Let me tell you that. I kind of realized after I wrote the letter and after I confessed, I was like, maybe I don't actually like this guy that much. So yeah, that's my answer to that. Okay, so guys, honesty hour. my phone just died. So I know I'm the worst. Why? And my charger's broken. So it's kind of like a huge dilemma I'm having right now. I've been very stubbornly not buying a new charger, even though my wire is like fully frayed and like broken. Like this is Apple's way of saying like spend more money and buy a new charger. So my charger is, you know, broken and my phone is dead. So I don't really know what I'm going to do. Honestly, I just like bring it to work and I charge it there, and I'm going to go to Apple tomorrow and buy a new charger. So yeah, but I do remember a couple more questions that were asked that I do want to close with. I guess the first one I did want to answer, okay, now they're escaping me. No, someone asked me, what is something that you guys don't know? Or it was like, tell us something that we don't know about you. And I'm trying to think of like things you guys don't know, to be honest. I'm such an open book on the internet. I guess I've never really discussed like my personality type, have I? Well, like besides like the Enneagram, which I was obsessed with for a while, still love. I guess my Myers-Briggs type, I haven't told you guys that, I don't think. I'm an ENFJ. So I'm, what's it called? Like extroverted. What's the N? Intuitive. I'm feeling and judgmental or judge. That's the last one. And so, which I think is so interesting because someone actually told me today that, I don't know if this is true because I didn't, you know, actually see the stat myself, but only like 2% of the population is an ENFJ. So my fellow ENFJs out there, like holler at you because we're some of the few, I guess. And I think my personality type says a lot about me because it's also like a huge contradiction. Like, yes, I'm out there, I'm extroverted. And I also, you know, I'm intuitive, but I also am like judge in the sense that like I really, really think about everything I'm doing, like to the point where I like, you know, beat it to death. Like I overanalyze everything and I overthink things, but I'm also like, you know, the first to be like, let's do this idea, let's do this like cool thing and having a big vision. But I'm also very much like this big vision, I have all these ideas, but then also like, is it rational? Like, can we do this? And it's something that I, you know, after learning this about myself, I've known my personality type for a long time, but you know, in the job world, it's really, you know, shown itself to me in a whole new way. It's like, I have these big ideas, but I'm like, okay, how, like, you know, what are the steps we can take to get there? And like, how can we make sure that we are, you know, as cost efficient, time efficient as possible? And sometimes you just got to realize that like the biggest, brightest, most amazing, you know, dreams in this world that have come to reality and come to make some amazing things weren't extremely calculated. Like, yes, you can like, you know, plan things and, you know, really work hard for a long time to reach a goal, but like also you do need to embrace spontaneity in this world. And so I think that's something that I've learned and also something I guess you guys don't know about me, my personality type. So that's a little tidbit. Someone asked me how I store my earrings, I remember, and I laughed at the question because I don't store them. They're actually just all over my apartment as we speak. So if anyone has any like creative ways to store earrings, like I used to have one of those like earring like post things that you like, you know, stick the earrings in. I don't have one of those currently. I should probably find another one. I just didn't really love mine, and it kind of, I think it was from Claire's where I got all of my, you know, piercings done. But yeah, currently they're just all over. I have these little gold catch-all trays. Like, they're called a catch-all tray. It's just like you put whatever you want in it from Urban, and I just put them in there. And then they just get lost in the backings. I don't know where any of the backings are. I actually have a problem. Oh, another thing you guys don't know about me. On New Year's Eve this past year, I stretched out one of my earlobes. I don't know really how it happened, but I just remember waking up the next morning and being like, whoa, and like trying to put in earrings for the next day. And one of my earlobes was just stretched like way down my left earlobe. So my right earlobe's fine. My left one is a problem. And I know I have to get it like surgically fixed and then like re-pierced, and it's a lot of effort. but that's another thing you don't know. So, I've been trying to not wear as much heavy earring loads in my ears these days. So I have these like small little hoops that I wear every day now, which has really, really been helping me in that regard. But yeah, don't really have a creative earring solution for you, unfortunately. So yeah, those were some other questions. My phone is kaput. I'm going to try to finesse my charger into working, but alas, it is my own fault. I should have gotten a new one today when I had daylight and Apple was open. It's 10 o'clock now. So yeah, that is it for tonight's episode. I hope you guys all enjoyed this little Q&A. I really love doing stuff like this where it's not like one topic and we're just talking about a bunch of different things you guys want to hear about. So hope you guys got something out of this and liked it. And I will talk to you all next week. Bye.